This is Mistress Brighton of EnchantrixTees.com, 1-800-601-6975. I hope you've been enjoying this Halloween blog train 2020 and enjoying the exhibits in the Locktober Museum. If you missed any, please start with Miss Constance. Go to IntelligentFemdom.com and read her blog train post and then follow the links. And now, without further ado, the Stepford Mistress exhibit. Jeff couldn't understand why his friend had gotten so wound up over the portraits and the mystery woman that they saw at the museum. He would soon find out, as it was now Halloween and there was a big party planned at the Locktober Museum. All the guests that had visited the museum were invited back for the party. Jeff was excited, especially so because he wanted to know who the last mistress exhibit would be. He read the pamphlet as he got ready, describing the last exhibit before the party. Jeff had seen some pretty strange things, but unlike his friend, he laughed off the warnings. After all, he had made it back home a few nights ago, and nothing strange had happened to him at all. No spooky mistress had locked him away in the museum. He hadn't been locked in chastity by the Chastity Witch, nor had he been beaten by Mistress Nadia in the CBT exhibit, or turned into human furniture by Miss Hunter. All of the exhibits were mind-blowing and very creative, yet he was sort of bummed that nothing had happened. After hearing about how the Wax Museum was haunted and the strange behavior of his friend after they left, he concluded that the naked man that they had seen running screaming through the halls and some of the other strange things they saw were probably staged and just part of entertainment. Jeff was about to add the finishing touches to his costume when the doorbell rang. He opened the door to find a very bubbly, giggly blonde standing there, wearing a pink stewardess outfit and looking like something out of a Barbie doll ad. "Oh, you're home. I was worried I would miss you." Jeff's eyes scanned over the curvy blonde, her full tits squeezed into the tight pink uniform, full pouty, glossy pink lips and big blue eyes with full dark lashes blinked back at him and smiled brightly. She handed him a wrapped white box with a blue satin ribbon and a gift card attached. "This is for tonight. Mistress thought it would be appropriate." He took the box from her and stared from her to the box, puzzled. "Thank you. Trixie. My name's Trixie," she said. "Now, well, I mean, yeah, it's my name," she replied, following with a giggle. "Thank you, Trixie, but I didn't order anything." She giggled again. "Well, Miss just said to deliver it after she..." Trixie's voice trailed off. After she what?" Jeff inquired. The blonde fidgeted for a moment uncomfortably. "Can't say. She'll show you after the party. Bye!" Before Jeff could inquire further, she took off down his driveway and scampered off around the corner and disappeared. After the blonde ran off, Jeff took the box upstairs and opened the gift card. On one side it read, "Welcome to Stepford," and on the other side, in italicized script, it read, "For tonight." He shrugged and lifted off the lid, unfolding the brightly colored tissue paper to reveal another note and a pink apron teddy with matching thigh-high stockings. The note read, "Bring this with you and meet me at the Stepford exhibit." Jeff scoffed and then lifted the flimsy fabric up to get a better look. It was too small and too skimpy to even think it was for him. So Jeff decided to himself that maybe the mistress had a night of seduction in store for him and that she was going to model it for him. Once he arrived at the museum, the double doors were locked in the front when he pulled on them, but he could hear music and voices coming from somewhere inside. Ringing the buzzer and smoothing out the front of his Count Dracula costume, he waited for someone to open the door for him. Another moment passed, Jeff pulling on the handle and pushing the buzzer a second time. There was a rumble under his feet, and a deep, distorted voice saying something unintelligible. And then finally the door opened. He recognized the dark-haired mistress who looked him up and down before smiling. "Welcome, Jeff," she said. She opened the door wider to let him in, and as he stepped inside, he heard her mumble something under her breath. He ignored the mumbling, assuming she was just talking to herself, and then he let his eyes focus in the indoor lighting and noticed something strange. The museum looked as if it had been rearranged, which was impossible, considering the size and elaborate scale of some of the exhibits and the amount of time it would take to move them. The air also smelled different. And as he followed the woman to where the Stepford exhibit and party would be, he was certain he was beginning to hallucinate. Many of the wax sculptures seemed much more realistic, and the femdom paintings also appeared to be watching him. And then he passed the hall of mirrors, and what he saw when he looked at his reflection disturbed him to the core. He didn't see himself, no. He saw what looked to be a tall, busty blonde about his height, wearing heels and lingerie. Jeff stopped in his tracks and turned to face the mirror, which matched his every move. He stepped closer, opening and closing his mouth, turning left and right, wiggling his fingers. "This has to be one of those CGI joke mirrors," he thought to himself. But it still made him uncomfortable. He hurried down the hall, turning the corner, and finding the mistress was waiting for him rather impatiently, tapping her foot. The music and laughter grew as they got closer, Jeff blowing off what he saw and getting more excited to see everyone's costumes and what they would look like. The mistress opened the door to the banquet hall, revealing streamers, balloons, flashing disco lights, and a party well underway. Jeff made a beeline for the drinks and snacks, and he helped himself to some punch before looking around. He finally saw her, the mysterious woman that spooked his friend. Wait, where was Arnie? Now that he thought about it, he hadn't seen or heard from Arnie since that night. And he looked around and hadn't seen him at the party either. But the brunette was there, dancing near the DJ booth with none other than Trixie, who had delivered his gift. That's when Jeff realized something strange. There were no men at this party. No men save for him. The music changed and the mistress stopped dancing, turning toward him and heading in his direction. "Jeffrey, I'm so happy you could make it," she said with a smile. "Thanks. I was wondering if you've seen Arnie, the guy I was here with the other night at the museum?" The mistress looked confused. "Arnie?" Jeff nodded. "Yes, he was with me when..." "Oh, you mean Arena," she replied. "Oh, she's here." Jeff shook his head. No, I meant He turned just in time to see another blonde sauntering toward him. "Hi, Jeff. We're so happy you agreed to be here." Puzzled, Jeff stared at her. "Who are you?" The woman laughed. "It's me, silly. It's Arena. Don't you remember?" Shaking his head, Jeff replied, "I don't know any Arena. I only know Arnie, and you're not him." "You mean her," she offered. "No, I mean... Come on, what is this, a joke?" "Jeff, dearest, sweet Jeffrey, did you bring your outfit?" he heard the mistress say from behind him. Then he remembered, the bag on his arm, holding the skimpy teddy. He turned to face her. "I have it, but why would you give me that?" The music had softened. Jeff looked around and noticed that all the women in attendance were now staring at him. Jeff started to back away. The mistress took a step toward him and lifted the bag from his shoulder, and then very casually replied, "That's what you agreed to wear tonight after you join us, and your laser procedure is completed. My what? He answered, his voice reaching a slight higher than normal pitch. She smiled. The procedure all the men who attend the Locktober Halloween party agree to upon entering the museum. You signed a waiver. Every man who entered these halls had to sign a liability waiver that gives me the rights to your body and permission to administer the procedure, she said calmly. Memory loss is normal after you start taking the pre-surgery medication I prescribed. Jeff's heart dropped, and he shook his head violently. No, I didn't agree to any such thing. He backed away and then heard a bubbly Trixie chime in. Uh-oh, doctor, I think Jeffy Weffy is about to pop. He looked at them wide-eyed. Doctor? And then it hit him. Suddenly, a flood of memories came back to him. He remembered how strange Arnie had been acting, and the call he got a week prior, and the pill bottle on his nightstand that the doctor had prescribed to help him sleep. Arnie had told him that the mysterious Locktober mistress had been a doctor at Stepford, and that all the men in Stepford had been turned into sissies. He stared at Arnie, and suddenly he recognized the face, even though everything about him was more feminine now, and the rest of him was very, very different. There had been something else. He was sure of it. Something about a hallucinogenic drug that all the subjects were given before their transformation that made them see things that weren't there and hear things that weren't there and feel things that weren't there. And then it hit him. All of the mistresses at the Locktober Museum worked for Stepford. The bone room curator, the Amazon futanari, the mysterious Victorian doll, the chastity witch, the pumpkin carver, the friendly one that helped everyone carve those sexy pumpkins. All of them were sissification specialists at the Stepford Clinic. The museum was simply a cover to acquire more men to sissify. It all came back to him, Jeff shaking his head in disbelief. No. This isn't real. None of this is real, and I am getting out of here. But when Jeff tried to run for the doors, his path was blocked by four other mistresses, all smiling sweetly. We want to help you, Jeff. Let us help you. He turned and looked for a window to escape through, but there were none in the room. Then he heard the laughter, but it wasn't coming from the women in the room. However, someone or something was laughing hysterically at his predicament. And then he understood. There was only one way out of this room. And as a secret hatch opened up in the center of the floor, Jeff knew what was about to happen to him. He screamed as the women grabbed him, and he tried to fight them off, but his body was too weak. And he felt himself getting drowsy. What had they done to him? And then he remembered when he first came in. The fruit punch with the apples in it. They had drugged him. He knew now that he had been set up, or maybe, just maybe, that he had agreed to something that he could not remember. And as the women blindfolded Jeff and escorted him into the laboratory below, Jeff surrendered to the sedative in the punch and was out cold. A news reporter stood outside the gates, snapping pictures. It had now been several months since the fateful Locktober Museum had closed. None of the men that attended had ever been found. It was one of Locktober's unsolved mysteries. What happened to all those men that went to the Locktober Museum? He was covering the case of the Locktober Museum and any link that it may have had to the town of Stepford. Continuing to snap photos for his news report, he was about to turn and leave when he saw a woman standing at the gates, waving at him. Hi there, she said excitedly. Oh, hello. I didn't think anyone would be here. I'm just collecting some information for a report I'm doing. Do you work here? The woman nodded and smiled. It's been pretty quiet since October when the museum was closed, but there's still some staff here. Her answer puzzled the reporter, who knew for a fact that the grounds were closed pending an investigation and that there was no staff in the museum because it was locked and chained up. He crumpled his face. I thought this place was closed, he said, and then he had a light bulb moment. Before he could ask his question, the woman responded as if reading his mind. Would you like to take a look around inside? Some of the old exhibits are still up, and it's quiet today. I don't think the doctor will mind. The reporter couldn't believe his ears, but he decided he would play whatever little game this cute blonde was playing to get inside and take some exclusive pictures and make a new acquaintance. She opened the gate for him and beckoned him to follow her. He walked alongside his soon-to-be new lady friend, oblivious to the closing gate locking behind him, and walked with her up to the steps. So, what's your name, if you don't mind my asking? The cute blonde turned her head towards him and giggled. My name is Gina. Welcome to the museum. This is Mistress Brighton, and I hope that you've enjoyed this Halloween journey that we've been going on with each other and sort of a virtual trick-or-treat adventure. This is your last stop on the Halloween blog train. If you've liked the stories and you would like to speak with one of the Locktober Museum mistresses, you can call us. All you have to do is dial 1-800-601-6975 and let the dispatchers know that you followed along to the blog train and that you would like to speak with us. Have a happy Halloween. Bye-bye.